Thank you, Dave and Lori. Let me take you back about 40 years ago. I just graduated from high school, turning 18, and it's about this time of the year, I was on my way to the Walla Walla State Penitentiary. No, I didn't break any law. One of my crazy guy on my C-League basketball decided to sign up to go play basketball inside those walls. And so we went. There were about 10 of us, and we drove and went into the Walla Walla State Penitentiary, and I found out there were about 2,000 of those inmates, twice the size of my small town. We were just a local boys going in to play basketball with the convicts. And as we got in the front door, and they opened up this big door, and we entered, and they checked your ID, and checked your bag, and checked everything, and most of the guys were carrying guns. I mean, guns I'd never seen before. And then we go through down the hallway, and as I get closer and deeper inside the abyss, my heart started pounding. My imagination got wild. I thought, what if there's another guy that looked like me in Trey Place and I'm stuck there forever? What if we create a riot? I mean, there's weird things going in my mind as we walk down this hallway and nobody talking, because as we go deeper and deeper, more gate and more bars and more guns, and you hear the noise and the smell, and you can feel the depression and closeness, like, wow. Why am I here? And finally, we got into the inner part of the maximum security, and we got into the locker room and changed in our uniform, and the guard came up. Now, behind this door will be the gym, but there will be no guards. I'm out of here. I go, where's the guard going to be? Oh, they'll be up in the hallway, way up high with the mirror and window with the gun. I go, why not you out here? Who's the guy to sign this up, man? This is not a good idea. I'm just 18. I'm going to die today. So we went in. There were about 500 of these guys up on the bleacher, and they were told that they loved to play the outsider, and you have to be on good behavior. I thought, well, if they change their mind tonight. And so I got up there, and these guys, I'm 18 years old, and these guys go, bulky, big. And they're smiling. And they're looking at me. Some of them have tattoos that I didn't know you can put it on. And I'm so glad they're friendly. I didn't want to shake because they might, you know, crush. I'm just 18 years old. And I'm a little shaking a little bit. I said, okay, we're going to play basketball with these guys. And across the bleacher, there's 500 guys, all shape and size. And so far, they're friendly. And so we got on the basketball court, and we didn't have a chance. These guys played basketball day and night. They never sleep. We had no chance. And there's one incident I knew I was going to be dead. I just knew it. I was up in front, and they threw a pass, and I got the ball, and I took off on the running for a fast break. And one of these little black guys, he was fast on his feet. He ran right ahead of me and planted, and I ran right over him. Now, if you know anything about basketball, usually when they're the referee there, and their goal is to, you know, when they point at you, when they call a foul, it's nice to raise your hand. I was going to help the referee. I did it. Call on me. Because it was my foul. I ran over the poor guy. See, when I hit him, he went flying 10 feet. He didn't call me. He called a foul on that guy. Yes, there was a riot. I thought, I'm dead. But they didn't move. They just boo, hiss. And I said, oh, man. Yes, we got out of there alive. And yet, we went back there a couple weeks later and played again. My question to you is that those penitentiaries, there's only 2,000 people, and yet in the United States, over 2.3 million people behind bars. My question is there any gratitude behind the prison bar? I would gratitude that I was able to get out of there alive. And I want to share today, and if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 16. I'm going to tell you a story of two gentlemen who went behind bars, and they will show us what gratitude looked like behind bars. If you have your Bible, look at Acts 16. We're going to begin verse 16 and kind of cover to verse 40. I'm just going to tell you the story of what happened. But before that, let me give you a background. Who is this group we're talking about? Here we have Paul and Silas, who was a missionary. They're kind of like Dave, who go out and plant churches. And this is the journal number 2, Paul traveled 3 times as a missionary, and he's out there planting churches. He's in Philippi, and the church at this time is about 25 years old. And with Paul and Silas, there were two other gentlemen named Dr. Luke. Luke was picked up and be part of it. He wrote the book of Acts, as well as the Gospel of Luke. Also, they picked up Timothy. And you might be familiar that Paul wrote the book to Timothy. So there's four of these guys. If you look in Acts 16, here they were. They're traveling and worked their way to a place of prayer. As they were walking, all of a sudden, out of the blue, there was this slave girl. She was possessed by the evil spirit. She had the power to tell you what's going to happen in the future. She was owned by many men. They were making a lot of money. And here yet she snuck up behind the four of them, shouting. So here this slave girl for many days keeps yelling and talking to her. These men are here how to tell you how to be saved, and she's still shouting. And Paul finally said, "That's enough," and turned to the girl and pointed to the spirit by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of her. And she did. And she became whole. And you think the people that owned her did rejoice? Yes, she's no longer possessed by the demons. And they were so mad because they thought the money was disappearing. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and brought him to the city area, and they went to the judge and, hey, these guys are nothing but troublemakers. And the other crowd came in and said, these Jews are here trying to do stuff that's not according to our law. Now, back then, Philippi is under the Roman, and there's a law that you cannot have a new religion unless you got a special permit. Now, by the way, they were doing nothing but on their way to prayer. And notice that Luke and Timothy is not part of the group. It said these Jews, well, Luke and Timothy were Greek, Gentile. So they want a Jew that doesn't have a bad reputation, so they got the crowd got all mad, and finally the judge said, go ahead and let's beat them up. So they ripped the shirt off to the back, and they brought the rod in. Put this on their back. I was going to ask Tim if he can come up and I can demonstrate his back. But I'd afraid that he might be black and blue by Thanksgiving. A rod could look like this. And Paul had three types of beating similar to this. And it could break your bone. And you imagine, you heard what it sounded like, what it might be like in the back of the body. Ouch. And then they went ahead and put him in prison. And they gave the commandment to the jailer and said they got a special command. And said put him down in the inner prison. So they put him down. Now, the jail at that time, he didn't care who you are, and they lock him up, and there's three levels. You have the outside level on top, we have a window, and then in the next level, you have a little better air, but this one down in the dungeon, total darkness, smell, never been clean, infested with rat and junk. And not only that, they put him in here, but it's also said, well, we're going to put him inside a special wooden contraption. It might look like this. And they put the speed in there, and they drop it in there. And they make sure the farther you spread your leg, it forces him what? Lay on the back. And on the back, it's just unsanitized. If you were in their shoes, Paul and Silas, what would be your reaction? Look at the slide in verse 25. We see here the response. And this is right there about midnight. And Paul said, hey, 911. Oh, I want my lawyer. Help! Tell me help! Is that what you see? Here's what's bizarre. Here's what I want to talk about, the gratitude powers. It's amazing. They were what? They were singing and praying to God. Did you get that? I mean, they're on their back. They're hurting. They didn't do anything wrong. And not only that, here's what I want to look at. While they're doing that, guess what the rest of the prison is doing? You see, I heard that when you're in prison, when the light's out, it's never quiet. They're yelling and screaming. I learned that the hard way this year when I was at camp. I had 20 junior high in my lodge. And when the lights go out, guess what? Did they shut up? No. But I am thankful in that 20 kids in there, the two other counselors, all I had to do was take out my hearing aid and say, see you in the morning. That's a blessing going deaf. I can't hear a thing. And I wake up, what's the matter, you two counselors? Why are you so tired? Oh, shut up, man. And so here these prisoners were intent and then listened to, and I go, this is strange. the common people who've gone through, they probably heard through the grapevine that these guys were innocent. Most of the guys in prison, they deserve to be there. But Paul and Silas, they don't deserve it. And why are they staying and praying? It doesn't make sense. It got their attention. They go, whoa, this is different. But then something else happened. As the midnight sign is singing, God decided to help them open the door, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake. And then when the earthquake came, all the chains of the guards in the prison just came loose, and the door wide open. Now, they had a violent earthquake, but it didn't bring down the building, and I don't think the town knew about it, but it shook so violent that the jailer right next to it woke it, ran in and saw the prison door and said, great. So he grabbed his sword and going to kill himself. Why? Because back then, if any of those prisoners escaped, their life for your life. So they leave, you die. Now, I might as well do it myself. Game's over for me because he saw all these doors open. Oh, great. So he's ready to kill himself. And Paul said, wait! Don't do that. Nobody left. We're still here. Jailer couldn't believe it. Ran up, fell on his knees, and had the line. Well, what shall I do to be saved? And notice Paul switched the questions and answers, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your whole household will be saved. Wow. And then they went. Jailer took both Paul and Silas and took to his house. And the family got up, and they nursed and bandaged their room, and they went ahead and taught them about the gospel, and the jailer and the whole family were baptized, and they were being saved, and they got a big meal, and that time they were rejoicing. Before, the jailer can care less about Paul and Silas. Now they become brothers and sisters. And then right at the end, the sunrise came up, and kind of interesting, none of the prisoners left. Maybe they're overwhelmed with the singing and the praising, and the door opened, the chains dropped, and they're going, whoa. But nobody left. I mean, if you've been there for a week or a month or a year, would you run and be free? But that's the power of gratitude kept them compelled because they said, what is this? It's so different. This is a miracle we're experiencing here. And finally, and the sunrise came up, and the jailer got the report from the officer, and they said, hey, you guys are free to go. Go in peace. And Paul said, uh-uh. You tell the big guy, the big wig, the judge to come and tell us because we were Roman citizens and they beat us publicly. In other words, they broke the law. So the officer went back and said, I got bad news and I got real bad news. What's the bad news? These guys are Roman citizens. Uh-oh. Well, what's the real bad news? They're not leaving town until you come and escort them out. Man, they were alarmed. They were terrified. Why? Because they realized when they broke the law, they could be persecuted. They may get that whipping here. They might get smacked, or they might be executed. That's how bad it was. And they go, oh, man, we're in trouble. So they ran, and they begged to Paul and Silas, please, please, forgive us. Just go, go, go. We're sorry we did this. And Paul left. What a story. Well, I want to cover and look at what we call a WWW. Gratitude power. The word gratitude means express thankfulness. I mean, you look at the situation, how can anybody be thankful in that situation? The first W is worship. If you got your note and you see on the slide, the word worship is the first thing you do in order to understand what the gratitude power is all about. And here, under your circumstances, there are going to be times that you're going to be trial and tribulation and tough time. And the best thing is not to get bitter and angry, but worship God, because there's nothing changed. God's still God. He's still in the kingdom king, and you're heaven bond. In other words, God's still working in your life. Paul realized that it's not about him. So it's not about you guys. It's about God. God likes to be worshiped. And if you look at John 4:23, this was Jesus was having a conversation with the lady at the well. And they were arguing about where to worship. So being God said in 23, he said there's going to be a time that you're not going to worship on the mountain or the temple. But God's looking for true worship, who's worshiping truth and spirit. And that's what God wanted. God wants to worship no matter what. The first part of the gratitude power, but Paul did worship. Now I want to show you, when Paul did that, what happened to Paul and Silas did not worship and didn't sing, and the prison, there was no effect. Because of the gratitude that Paul and Silas did, it caught the attention of the prisoner. Question. At work, at your family, at home, or school, your neighbor, when you're going through a tough time, do people see joy on your face? Because if you want to impact a community, they're watching that you're still have joy through those times. And guess what? You got their attention. If you whine, complain, and be bitter, they think that's normal, no impact. But if you want to impact the world, they want to know that your joy is real. And Paul demonstrates inside us that we have gratitude in the midst of tough times. And look what the impact. And not only that, God able to open the door. And look at the second W is call witnesses. That is our job, guys. And the reason why I use the word power, if you look in the second part where you would find in Act 1:8, this is right when Jesus was getting ready to descend. And the very last thing he said to the group of 500, he said, stay here because the power, you shall receive power. The word power, where we get the Greek word from dynamite. And you look through all the scriptures, you see that word power throughout there. God is the power, full of power. And we can have that power. So God's going to let us receive the power to do what? So we can be a witness starting in Jerusalem and throughout the world. Matthew 28 talks about go to all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because he said this is our goal, your purpose, your God will for us is to share the gospel. You and I are going to heaven. And God said, while you're there, bring some people with you. You need to share the question. I don't have the knowledge that you and Dave and Kyle, and we got another preacher named Don, you don't need a Bible college degree. Just share your story. Share what God's doing in your life. And if you do get a question, a hard question, don't call me, call Dave. You can call me. It's just that you got to learn to read Braille when I give you the answer, that's all. But just share what God's working in your life. God wants you to worship him, number one. And number two, God wants you to witness. And Paul took the opportunity. Sometimes when you worship God in a tough time, guess what? He will open door for people to say, hey, tell me more about your life. And the third W at the end, remember Paul said, I'm not leaving until these clowns come and escort out. And put the word in there called win, W-I-N. You might be confused. What do you mean win? Well, watch this. If you look in your 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse about 19 to 23, now if you read the passage before, Paul talked about right. Now here's what's kind of strange. In America, it's all about right, my right, 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 right. I have the right to earn this. I have the right to have the best hamburger. I have the right to be first place. It's all about right. No, it's not about right. It's about what's right to do. Is it the right thing to do? Notice here, Paul could down the alarm and arrest these guys because they did break the law. He chose not to. He had the right to take him to the court. Chose not to. Let me tell you why. Paul's all about the gospel. What if he did report them? And if you listen to the conversation of the judge, they're moving in and they were getting in front of the trial and they're getting thrown in the prison and maybe they got the rod beaten just like Paul, you know. And maybe some might face execution. And they say, those Christians, they're no different than those heathen, man. But they didn't. Paul said, I'm going to demonstrate grace here. And here these guys left going, wow, we've been toast. But they didn't. And they were talking among themselves, said, I can't believe that they let us go. They had us. I mean, look at Paul and Silas. They were beaten up and they were bleeding and sore. And yet they give us grace and mercy. And guess what? That opened the door for them to what? Think about God. In other words, in the future, they might be more open to the gospel. Does that make sense? And sometimes it's all about your right. It's not about your right. And yet Paul did use his right. One time if you go down to the end of the chapter of the book of Acts, you see, again, he did. Every time you go to a place of prayer, riot happened. And they were going to prayer, and did you? Oh, there he is! And they grabbed him, and there's a riot, and they beat him up. And the Roman guard came and grabbed and rescued. And Paul said, "Wait, well, let me talk to this guy." And he started another riot. He brought him into the, you know, you're a troublemaker. Let's beat you up. And Paul said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! Before you do that, I'm the Roman citizen." Paul and the commander go, "Whoa!" So there is a time to use it, but back here, Paul's all about how can I further the gospel? Watch this. So you look in verse 19. It says, "I am free to be under no man." But I chose, notice this, I decided to be a slave, a servant to everyone. And notice the four areas. I became a Jew so I be under the Jews so I might, well, here's the key word, win those who are Jews. See, the goal is to win the Jews. Those who are under the law, even though I'm not under the law, but I might win those who are under the law. And those who have no law, even though I pretend under the law, but I can't do that because I'm under God's law, Christ's law. But to win those who are not under the law. Those who are weak, I become weak, so I might win. See, the win, win, win. The goal is to convert these people. And then he said, in all possibility, all things, I become all things to all people so that it's possible I might win. Of course, the scripture said, save some. Why, Paul? To further the gospel. Pass on the gift. And so you're in this situation, and you might say, is it really good to sue this person? And before you demand your right, even though you have the right, is this going to be an opportunity for them to glorify God? And then they not only glorify God, but an open door to witness, and you might win them to become brother and sister. So you need to think twice before it's about your right. Because you might hinder them to look at the gospel. Because Christianity's already got a bad name. We're in a bad place. There's nothing but violence and hatred, and they need gratitude worse than anything else. This is a great time to express gratitude. We need that. We need it in the family, we need it in our city, and we need it in our country. We don't need any more fighting. We need to demonstrate gratitude, kindness. And the only way it's going to happen is the power of God. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. I understand that, but how you get there? I'm glad you asked. Look at your note. We're going to talk about, called a gratitude building block. How can I have this same strength that Paul inside? Now, please listen to me. Don't get caught up because he's an apostle, therefore he got super power, and we can't know. His spirit, our spirit, wanted the same. Whatever happened to Paul and Silas, his attitude, we have the same thing. Look at this. The number one here, in order to have that build-up building block for gratitude, is Bible. Read your Bible. I mean, you hear Brother Dave preach this all year long. Read, read, read. It's not about reading for this to be redundant or what we need to do. No, it's essential. You guys eat and drink every day. Why? Because it's necessary for life. Guess what? You need to eat and drink spiritually because we need it. A couple of weeks ago, Guy and I went over to Chris Young, and she needed help building a chicken coop in the kid. Her husband down in Tennessee visiting her brother. So I brought my power tool and my hammer, and Guy and my wife went, and we went to help to put this chicken coop together. Now, what are the first things you do before you start building? What's the thing we should do? Read the manual. I know us guys don't like to do the Bible. We've got to read the manual before you begin. So the trouble is, Guy looked at it, Chris looked at it, my wife looked at it. It was confusing. But we got it done. Now, if they just gave it to me, it would be done half as fast. I can interpret it. They wouldn't let me look at the manual. But the beauty is God's manual is be trustworthy. It gives you the scripture. Paul wrote 13 of them from, what, Romans to Philemon. All 13 is Paul written, and maybe Hebrew. And we can learn about the scripture. They teach you how to live and how to praise God and learn who God is and great and just so much about life. And that's how Paul and Silas were able to have gratitude because they knew about God. We talk about know Jesus and make him known. And this is a great way to know. I love what Kyle did. Remember the sermon? Coma. C stand for what? Those who've been there. Come on, people. C is what? Right. Make sure it's in the right context. Make sure you're in the right area. And the next one is O is what? Observation. What is, as you read the scripture, what popped out? Oh, this. I can't tell you how many times I read this and this thing stuck out. I read this 100 times and this came out of nowhere. Where did it come from? Maybe God said, pay attention. And once you see what stands out, the letter N stands for meaning. Interpret it. So, we're done, right? No, the letter A, and they apply it. And the reason why you apply it, that gives you the power, ladies and gentlemen, to have that gratitude when you're under stress. The second one we need, and part of the building block, is prayer. On the slide, put down number two under there. You need Bible reading every day, and you need prayer every day. You know what's the trouble? We Christians don't do prayer until we have an emergency. Now we need to pray. Doesn't work that way. Kind of like me when I was in high school. I was an all-around athletic. Played football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, you name it. I was good at it. And right after high school, I was part of the City League slow pitch softball. And I pretty much can park that ball anywhere. And usually the first time I get up is I'll get a double or triple because I'm right-handed. And usually the first base in the right field, they move over because they expect the ball to go this way. I'm able to place it right over the first base and I get double. I was just that good. 20 years ahead, We were upstate New York. We had a Sunday softball picnic. I hadn't touched the bat for, what, 20 years. I got up to base. I'm going to put this over the fence, man. Come on, these guys don't know how to play, right? The first pitch, I miss. I was shocked. I never missed before. So I better not try it for a home run. Okay, the second one, I'll just park it out in the field. Second one, I miss. Oh, man. I never strike out in a slow pitch. I mean, this is a slow pitch. So the third one, I said, okay, I'm just going to connect. And I did. And it didn't get them very far. And I ran the first base. I got put out. I was so embarrassed. Well, what happened when you don't do it? I hadn't done it for 20 years. So you need to practice so you get better at it. Guess what? Prayer is the same way. That's why you want to pray and get to know God. Pray to people who can hear. Like, you know, we're praying for people in Paradise, California. I was there 25 years ago and spoke at the church there. And guess what? We don't know where Luke and Timothy, but I bet they're praying for Paul and Silas. And the third is fellowship. Write down fellowship. Fellowship is where what we're doing right now. You need fellowship where you go to church attendance and small group. You see, they brought up about a month or two that there's over 50 passages, that one another passage. Pray for one another, carry for one another. And you can't do that if you don't come to church. And this is where you get support. This is where you share. Sometimes you need somebody to help, and sometimes they need your help. You need to pray and read and fellowship. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. Life will come down on you where you feel pressure, locked down, dark, in the mess. My question is, how are you going to respond? You say, but brother, man, I don't have time to pray and read every day. And we're so busy. Yeah, I know. See, the devil can't make you bad. He makes you busy. Don't use that excuse. You have time to eat and drink every day. Make time for the spiritual food, because if you don't, when you're in the next circumstance, it will happen, and you will be in the midst of it. How are you going to respond? Will you respond as Paul and Silas did with gratitude? You won't if you don't have the Bible reading every day, the prayer, and the fellowship. That's the reason why Paul and Silas were able to do it. We can do the same thing if we claim it. I'm going to give you the WW challenge as the praise team come up, and here's what I want you to think about. I want you to commit yourself now to the end of the year and start today. I want you to commit that from now on, for the now to the end of the year, I'm going to read my Bible every day. It only has to be 5 to 10 minutes, and it can grow. Don't start out 1 hour. Don't do that. See, I read the scripture every year. Sometimes I read it twice. I just made a commitment 20 years. I'm just going to read. Those of you who drive, put the CD in your car. You cover a lot of things in there. They're great. Take the opportunity. So if you're on the road a lot, you can get a lot of scripture. But my challenge is make a commitment. You're going to do the WWW challenge, but I'm going to, from now on until the end of the year, I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. It could be 5 to 7 minutes. And I'm going to try to come to church every Sunday. We're only talking about 6 weeks. And try to get a small group. And then when that happens, on New Year, evaluate. You might be surprised how God uses your life. You might be surprised at the power of gratitude live within you. And all of a sudden, you are more worshiping about God. Because the more you discover Him, His grace, His mercy, and love, He teaches you how to get along with other people and talk about how to get taken. I mean, just so much in your life. You start living for God, not for you. And once you understand that, you learn to worship under the trial and temptation and tough time. You learn to pray, and you get involved in the fellowship, and you learn our brothers. I love coming here. The only thing I loved to do back in 30 years ago, I travel everywhere. And some of the home I save, I never met these people, but I love the sweet fellowship because both of us have common Lord. It was a sweet fellowship. Even the one in Paradise, I was saying the elder guy, it was a great fellowship. I was there for a weekend and loved the fellowship. Never met them before. But because we're brothers and sisters, that's awesome. Do you take that challenge? If you do, put it on your card. Not so much to help us keep track, but so we can pray for you. Make that commitment. And then on a New Year's Day, I think you'll be surprised, like, wow, my life changed. I can worship. I can witness. And I can win and not be all about my right, but give up and sacrifice so I can spread the gospel for the Lord. That makes sense. Just for those who are not a Christian, listen. The gospel of the good news that God became man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life that we should live. He died the death that belonged to us, but after 3 days he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God. And he offered a plan of salvation, eternal life to anyone who believe, repent, and be baptized. What are you waiting for? Because if you don't have that power, and when that hard time comes, you'll be bitter and angry and frustrated. You don't have to go down that road. So I pray you take that challenge. Let's pray. Father, our world is messed up. And help us, God, as we look at Paul and Silas and we see the power of gratitude that influenced the prison and the jailer and the family were converted. So help us be that kind of people. It's not about us, God. Help us to let go of our right and think about the gospel. So teach us how to read and study and discover your love and mercy. Teach us how to understand the Bible. And just begin slow. Lord, help us to pray so we can communicate with you and love you and just stay in tune with you so that time comes, we can worship no matter what, good time, tough time. And also, God, help us to fellowship because not only it's good for our soul, but, man, encourage other brothers and sisters as we fellowship. And we're going together. We're struggling together, but yet we can worship together. Thank you for this time. And I pray, God, that you bless each and every one of these people for this coming Thanksgiving.